Well, this morning is March the 2nd, and we're going to take a few minutes and look at the book of Numbers today. You have on your bulletin there that we're going to cover chapter 15 through 21, and really it's more like 11 through 21. And I titled the message, Wandering, and Why? The Israelites approached the Promised Land, and Moses, under God's direction, sent out leaders to spy into the land. And as they did that, some of the spies came back with a discouraging report. How many of you have read that this week as we read through the Bible together? And only Joshua and Caleb wanted to proceed on and take these people on, and they believed in their minds that God could defeat these people. But the mass of the Israelite community began to complain. And I think there's a correlation between their complaining and their wandering. Let me try to illustrate this for you. Imagine with me that I had planned a really nice vacation for us to go on. Okay? We're going to a really nice place. And on the way there, we begin to hear from the back seats of the magic bus, "Are we there yet? When do we get to eat? How much longer? I'm hot. He's touching me." You ever been on a vacation trip like that? Where you're on your way to have a ball, but on the way there, people start fussing. And I have been on one of those trips before, and I wanted to just turn around and say, "Forget it, we aren't going, we're going home." Right? You want to? If that's your attitude, never mind. We're not doing vacation. Well, I never have done that yet. Yet being the key term in there. But in this case, that's kind of what happened. God says, "I want to take you to the most beautiful place you can imagine." And on the way there, they started complaining, and God said, "Okay, forget it. You're never going to get there. You're going to wander in the desert and die." Joshua and Caleb are the only two who are going to get there because they didn't complain. So as a punishment for the lack of faith, the people were condemned to wander in the desert for 40 years. Obedience is something in our lives that must be complete and timely. Let me try to illustrate that for you. Last Sunday, I was in the midst of doing a message that went out on the World Wide Web and all of you listened to. And I replayed a phone conversation with my sister and a dialogue with my son, Chris. Any of you remember that little short snib that I did? Friday, I had the opportunity to seek forgiveness from my sister. I should have never repeated those comments, and I should never have done that publicly. And I sought her forgiveness, and we hugged each other and cried, and she forgave me. But I need to confess to you, it's not correct for me to do that. To do non-complimentary things, complain about stuff, that's not right. So, I would ask you to forgive me as well, and all those out on the World Wide Web who listened to that message, sorry. What do you believe about complaining? That's not a rhetorical question. This is actually one where I want you to talk. And if I summarize what you say, it's because I want it to get on the World Wide Web. What do you believe about complaining? Do you think it has an impact on your life? Does no good to me? Or anybody else? Nope. Who else would share? Yes?
I think that it is a long-standing, like, family matter for me. And it is one of the things that I have set for this year to go to the other side, which is contentment. To be content with the weather and the traffic and... All the little things that I want to grump
Mm-hmm. So, to summarize, there's family patterns, aren't there? You probably have friends and people you work with that have the same patterns. And the bottom line of what Marilyn is sharing is that we have a choice to make to either complain or be contented and thankful. And a decisive decision to try to see more of the good, see the right, see the pure, and focus on that would be a great godly goal for this year of our Lord. Anybody else, what do you believe about complaining? Thoughts? Yes, ma'am.
I think it starts a chain reaction.
A chain reaction.
One person starts complaining,
I think our spies guys would be great. You know, 10 guys come back, and the next thing you know, 2 million people are all against Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron. Right? So yeah, I do think it's a chain reaction. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
God sees it as rebellion.
God sees it as rebellion. That lady's pretty much black and white that I live with, isn't she? Now then, let me ask you another question. Could it be said that for a period of time, the church that we're a part of has been wandering around? Lack of direction, lack of kind of wandering around. Could there be a correlation between historical events of complaining and the situation that we find ourselves in? If God's pattern in Numbers was such that if you complain, you're never going to get to where I want you to get to, do you think he's changed his mindset on this issue? Clarence says, no, immediately. Good Marine. No, sir. You know. And the fact of the matter is that possibly, as we look forward next week in defining the values of our church and dealing with the issues of the past, similar to what I illustrated in confessing my sin in how I talked about Marilyn, if we define those and if we confessed in a New Testament context, it could be that God would do a miraculous work to get us back on the straight and narrow, and we wouldn't be wandering around so much, but we would be focused and driven and intent on it. So, I think these things could have an impact on our lives. So let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. Let me read to you Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Flip your bulletin over to the backside. Grab a pencil and we're going to ask some questions. Here's what the Bible says. Now the people complained about their hardship in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard that, his anger was aroused. And fire from the Lord burned them up and consumed the outskirts of the camp. End of the scripture. So, in Israel's complaining, what was their complaint? When I read that scripture, they were complaining about what? Their hardships. How many of you have heard people complain about hardships recently? Anybody? Have you heard that from close to your own self? Their complaint was about their hardships. Do we do that? What was their sin? Their sin was what? Lack of faith. What I wrote down, their sin was complaining about their problems instead of praying to God about them. See, in my vacation illustration, children or people traveling with me could ask questions as we're going along without complaining and whining about it, couldn't they? In the same way, my relationship with my Heavenly Father, when I am having hardships, does He want to be involved with me? Does He want me to talk to Him about those things? What about you? Rather than complaining about them, we could pray about them, couldn't we? What was the result of their complaint and their sin? Thousands of them were destroyed, weren't they? God punished them. Now what about you and I? What's our application from that complaint about hardship and our sin about focusing on our problems rather than praying about it. How could we apply something to my life, your life, that would make a difference? What could we do?
Might be a good thing for us to put truth in instead of be negative.
Sure. Whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is holy. If there is any good thing, focus on that. Is Bill's paraphrase of that scripture. But that would be a good application, wouldn't it? We could adapt that scripture. Look with me and listen to Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. Here's what the Bible says. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. What was their complaint? They were complaining about the food, weren't they? How many of us have heard that around our dinner tables recently? Right? I woke up to Irish oats and goji berries. Seriously. Irish oats marinated in yogurt with goji berries. It was awesome. And there was more giggling and laughing around my breakfast table. Wasn't there? But I know people that if they came to breakfast, where's the meat? Any of you? Don't you have no bacon, no sausage? I know there's a steak in that refrigerator someplace. We could have that with some eggs. Right? We could complain about the food, couldn't we? Now, what's the sin that they did? What was their sin? Not being content. They lusted after stuff they didn't have. That's the sin. They wanted what they didn't presently have. Rather than being content and thankful, they wanted what they didn't. Is that a part of our culture? Marketing strategies are designed and billions of dollars are spent every year in our country to create in you an environment where you're going to want to have what they want to sell. You need that. The sin is lusting after what they didn't have. What was the result of that when God brought the quail into the camp and they ate it? What did you read this week? What happened to them? They got really sick and a whole bunch of them died while they were still chewing on it. So the result was they were struck by a plague and they were killed. Now, how about application with you and me? What about this thing of food? Complaining about our food? And applying to our life a mindset where we wouldn't complain. What could we do? Pray. Praise. Be thankful for what I have. Oftentimes when I'm in a restaurant and they ask me to pray, I will confess before God that I am amazed that I live in a country where I get to choose what I want to eat. I stood in a fast food line with somebody the other day, and there were so many choices, it took about 20 minutes to figure out what it was they wanted. Right? That's an exaggeration of time, but the fact of the matter is we have so many choices, isn't it? We are abundantly blessed. Yes, ma'am.
Lusting after foods that we really don't need to eat. I make the medical profession and all the diet, I mean, if you open the Sunday paper, different diet things that you felt that you could buy so that you could eat whatever you wanted and still look a different way.
We're gonna have it for St. Patty's Day. It's an Irish breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So write down an application for yourself in relationship to food. How could you personally diminish, minimize, prayerfully, hopefully, eventually be crucified to complaining about food, to be complaining about your hardships? Let me share with you Numbers chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. We would have been better off to go back to Egypt." So what was their complaint? They're stuck in the desert. They're stuck in the desert. They were facing giants. They were on their way to the promised land. And they said, we would have been better off to just stay in Egypt. They didn't like the situation that they were in. How about their sin? What sin did they do in that complaining? Who would throw one out? Give me a shot. Ungrateful. They took a long walk in the desert was the result. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. What I summarized it as is their rebellion was against the leaders. They were not following their leaders, and they failed to trust God's promise. God said, "I'm going to give you this land." But they come at Aaron and Moses saying it's all you guys' fault. They complained about their leadership. How many of you in the past week had people that you worked with complaining about your boss? Anybody? Right? Not too many people have had the guts to come tell me they don't like what I'm doing and leading the church in a new direction, but I'm quite confident that somewhere along the line somebody's going to complain about the leadership of the church. Right? Standard operating procedure in the military is to complain about the decisions made by the higher-ups. For a period of time, Kent Nazi and I got to work at Northwestern Steel and Wire, and it was a privilege and a great job while it lasted. It's gone, but oftentimes, what did we talk about over coffee? Leadership, management, stupidity. We could do a better job running this company than they did. Maybe we were right because they went bankrupt. I don't know. The result of all of that, what was the result of their complaining to Aaron and Moses and Joshua and Caleb? They all wandered around and died. That was the result of their complaining. So how about you and I? When we're facing the giants in our life and we're challenged by the directiveness of our leadership, how could we apply biblical concepts to our life so that we didn't end up with the consequences of the result that they did? What could we do? Maybe rather than complaining about your boss, you could pray for your boss. Maybe complaining about how your husband is leading, you could pray for God's leading into his life. Maybe then, rather than complaining about how your children are living or not living, you could pray for your children. Intercede before them. What do you think? I've come to the conclusion at 57 years of age that I barely can change myself, let alone anybody else. But I do know the sovereign Lord of all the universe who has the technology, the resources, and the power to accomplish that. And oftentimes, as I ask him for that, he does it. So maybe we could do that. Listen to what Numbers chapter 16, verse 3 says. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron. "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above us in the assembly?" How many of you already did your Bible reading for the day and out of Numbers? This is a cool story. This is a really cool story. These guys come and complain to Moses and Aaron, and the end result of all that is God says, anybody who's not friendly with them should step a few paces away, and the earth opens, swallows them, and closes. How freaky would that be? So what was it? The complaint was against the leadership again, wasn't it? All of us could do as good a job as you, Moses. Any one of us could be a priest like Aaron. So what was their sin? What were they greedy for? Power, authority, control. Is that a challenge in our culture? Is it a challenge in our life to be in control? Right? See, there is a sin of being greedy for power. Julie read me a magnificent devotional this morning on the couch about the right attitudes in leadership. Because of a natural sense, I don't have those. I need biblical directive as her spiritual leader and the other ladies that live in my home. And as your spiritual leader, I need input like that. The result was that the earth opened up and swallowed them, and fire came down and burned up 250 other guys who rebelled. Now that would be a day to remember, wouldn't it? The earth opens up, and then the ones that weren't there, God fried them. That's pretty freaky. How about you and me? How could we apply something to our life and our attitudes about leadership? Any new ideas? Say again? Let God be in control and pray that He would lead in our lives to get us where He wants. Yeah. Anybody else? Listen.
Go.
Be cooperative. Be positive. Be complimentary to your leaders. You know? All of us in leadership are going to make a mistake. But the things that we happen to do right or reasonably well, you could be complimentary about those things, couldn't we? And any of you don't like it when someone says thank you? Anyone here not enjoy it when you get the pat in the back and say, hey, good job? Anybody here? I don't see any hands but mine waving. I think that's the way it is. Listen to Numbers chapter 16, verse 41. The next day, the whole assembly, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And here's what they said. You have killed the Lord's people, they said. As a response to what happened, they came and did what? What was their complaint? Yeah, they blamed Moses and Aaron for what happened. You guys caused those people to die. So the sin was blaming their troubles on somebody else. Anybody ever noticed that? Right? Remember in Genesis? What was the first reaction to sin? Trying to hide it. What's the second reaction to sin? Trying to blame somebody else. And the bottom line in all of that is when you do that, you're actually blaming God for the situation and circumstance you find yourself in, which I would not recommend as a normal pattern of your life. Don't be blaming God for stuff like that. But the sin was they blamed other people for their troubles. The result of that was that there was a plague and 14,700 people died. When you read this chapter today, as you're reading through the Bible, a plague breaks out And Moses tells his brother, grab your censer, put it in fire in it, and run through the camp and make atonement for these people. And as he did, God ceased. Do you have a mental picture of 14,700 people? I watched part of Saving Private Ryan this past week. And it was the invasion of Normandy, Omaha Beach. And there's a scene when they've burst through the beach and this valiant ranger looks down and there are thousands. Thousands of good American boys bleeding so bad the ocean is saturated. It's the casualties of Omaha Beach on D-Day. That's the camp of the Israelites. Bodies everywhere. 14,000 people died. Because of blaming. Do you think it's a good idea maybe you and I look for an application for our life in this blaming gig here? How could we apply this to our own life? What could you do rather than blaming somebody else? Pray for him. Take responsibility. You could be the stand-up man or woman who said, it's me. It's not them. You could take on the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will pay their sin. Be merciful to them and take it out on me. I'm the one at fault here. Not blaming somebody else, but honestly, truthfully confessing our failures. There's a tremendous event in our culture of putting a spin on everything so that we look terrible, right? No, so we look good. Be honest. Don't blame other people. Here's Numbers chapter 20, verse 2 and 3. Now, there was no water for the community, and the people gathered and opposed Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died with our brothers or fell dead before the Lord. So what was their complaint? They were thirsty. They didn't like the drinks that were offered on the menu. Don't you have anything else? Ever heard that one? The sin that they had, I believe, was refusal to believe what God had promised. He said, I'll meet all your needs. I'll take care of all your needs. Don't focus on what you're lacking. Focus on what I've given you. I will give you everything that you need. The other day, I was going to run into town and fill the magic bus up with fuel, and I was going to grab some Coke Classic. And I happened to make the statement that I want a Coke. And one of the people that I live with said, you don't need a Coke. I said, oh no. The water is a necessity. Coke Classic is a want. I was with a group of people on a road trip, and there was an unction for fried cheese curds from the back of the magic bus. And someone made the comment, well, we don't need fried cheese curds. And I said, fried cheese curds are definitely not a need. They're definitely a want. But we'll find some because we want them. Right? And they were good. Confession is good for the soul. The result of their sin was Moses sinned along with the people and was barred from the promised land. Even Moses, as Sue said earlier, you know, this complaining thing is contagious. Even Moses, eventually, living with that rabble, got in on it and didn't get to go to the promised land. That was one of the results. How about you and me complaining about our lack? What type of application could we do for us?
I think recognizing things that they'll want to be
recognizing whether it's a need or a want. And being free, if it's a want and you can and it's not against the law, it's not sin. God doesn't have, He made all that stuff for us to enjoy. But you don't need it. Right? I think our last one is Numbers 21:5. Here's our last one. Here's what it says. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this desert? There's no bread, there's no water, there's only this detestable, miserable food." So, what was their complaint?
They didn't like manna.
They didn't like manna. They weren't happy about it, were they? What was their sin? Complaining. They failed to recognize that what they, the situation they were in was a consequence of their own rebellion and disobedience. They didn't connect the dots. That was their sin. They failed to recognize that it was them. Now, what happened in this event, the result of it was venomous snakes came out and started biting and killing people. And it injured many other ones. And whenever you go to a medical facility and you see that stick with a snake wrapped around it, that came from this event. God said, make a cross, put a bronze snake up on there, and when people get bit by one of these little two-step snakes, we used to call them in the Vietnam era, you get one of these little snakes bite you and you got two steps before you're dead. If they get bit by the snake and they look in faith to that cross and that, they'll be healed. How about you and I? An application for you and I. What could we do with that section of Scripture? Anything?
Mm-hmm.
You bet. Here's the, I think, the lasting illustration for me out of the application, is we can look to the cross. They hung the serpent on the cross, and if you looked to it, you were healed. And I'd encourage you to, when you have problems in your life, when you have hardships, when you have lack, to look to the cross. And if you just draw a little cross on your page, it's a T, right? It's like a T. And there's three T's that I'd like you to remember. I would like you to thank God. When you're lacking, when you're in need, when you're in trouble, when you're in hardship, thank Him in the midst of it. Second T, I would like you to trust Him. These people did not trust God. I would like you to begin thinking of that cross, thinking of that T, and after you thank Him, you confess to Him your deep, unwavering faith and trust that in this situation, He is going to show Himself sovereign. And thirdly, that you actually take the time to talk to Him about what's going on inside you. And if you've got a bad attitude, just go ahead and get it out and deal with it before Him. And at the end of it, confess, that was a really lousy attitude. When you read the Psalms of David, he did some things that many churches would not do openly and publicly. But I want you to thank Him. I want you to trust Him more. And I want you to talk to Him more about these things rather than complaining about them to others.